Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106 up in the Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, you can visit EMP180.com and get empowered. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. Going to give you a chance to win some Zach Brown Band tickets here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Been a minute since we played the round robin. Who am I?
Oh, it has, yes.
So we will do that, and you can call in now at 800.
It's the greatest game ever invented.
636-1067. 800-636-1067 if you want to partake.
Is Zach Brown going to tackle people between songs?
He's not.
He's silly at that. Oh, different Zach Brown. Different guy.
Different guy, Cakes.
Different dude.
Totally different dude.
Yeah. But you can go see their tour, Down the Rabbit Hole Live, which stops at Jiffy Lube Live on August 25th.
Very good.
Tickets on sale Friday, 10 a.m. through Live Nation. It's courtesy of Live Nation. Details at thefandc.com/contest.
I haven't been to Jiffy Lube in a long time.
They have some good acts out there.
Oh, Ricky. I know. I can't remember the last concert I was. I think the last concert I was at Jiffy Lube was Blink. And No Doubt.
That was a long time ago.
Unless I'm forgetting one, but I think that's the last one I've been to.
I think the last one I went to was Green Day.
I know the no I know
doubt.
The one
that recent.
Cakes and I are going to next no doubt. City Winery to see our guy Mark Robert.
That's right.
Nice. By the way, did you put in a request, Drabby, with Mark's people? Drabby, are you listening? Did you put in a request with Mark's people when he's going
to
be in town?
Yeah.
Are we working on that?
Yeah, I'll update you.
Okay. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound promising.
It should be a fun night.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait. It's coming up. It's only in a couple weeks, I think. Right?
Yes, Ricky. End of February.
God, life is flying by.
And then after we're done that, we're going to be packing
over to
West Palm.
I've been telling you that for years.
You're right.
Into it.
No, you're right. Flying by.
Put it on your calendar, Richard.
I was seeing this weekend my guy Sebastian Maniscalco's over at MGM National Harbor.
Ah, very good.
Saw him last year. I remember sitting there. Just thinking, how much money is he making for this?
Oh, just so much.
1 hour and 10 minutes or whatever he does on stage.
Right.
Because it was packed, and I think he did two shows that night. He's there two nights this weekend.
Oh, he's
just making bank.
Yeah, he's just clocking big fat checks. Good for him.
It's silly.
As he should be.
All right, is everybody calling in for the dumb Who Am I game?
Yes.
Is that really what it is?
We'll call it the dumb Who Am I game.
I mean, I do hate it.
No, it's a great Who Am I game.
It's not a great game. It's the bane of my existence.
Oh, I'm sure
one
it
of
is.
Many. I have a lot.
Man, you complain a lot.
All right. I got to spin the wheel, don't we?
He's complaining now. Wait till we fly to West Palm.
I know.
No, I'm looking forward to that trip. I don't have anything bad there.
The Hilton is bazilli.
Yeah.
The accommodations are top notch.
We're going to go to Tiger's
He's
restaurant.
He's having to spin the wheel before we punch up contestants.
Yeah, we got to punch.
But you know, we can reverse it that way.
It doesn't
way.
Matter.
Whatever.
Who cares? There's no protocol.
All right.
Let's go to Steve in Bristow. Hey,
He's
Steve.
He's never played a game on this show before.
Hey, good morning, Junk.
What is my name?
All right. Is Steve a prize pig? I didn't even realize. Yeah. And let's
little
go.
Bit.
A little bit. All right. What's the best surprise you ever won here, Steve?
Beyonce, Jay-Z tickets.
That's pretty good. Did you enjoy the show?
My wife did.
Your wife did.
Yeah, he didn't go.
Oh, that's good.
He's like me. I wouldn't go to that.
And let's go to Kevin in Ashburn. Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
All right. So how's
right,
it
already,
work?
We spun the wheel.
We
already spun
I think
it.
We can do a third contestant.
Oh, we want to do three?
Yeah, because they jump in.
Oh, my God. It's clearly a devil's three. Well, sorry. I apologize.
Let's go to... Philip in Manassas. Hey, Philip.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, buddy.
Hey,
all right, so there you go. You got your three contestants. Are you happy now?
All right, did we spin the wheel
now
already?
You got to spin it one more time.
Oh, okay.
You got to spin it.
Oh, look who it landed on. Drabster.
Oh, Drabster.
I always go first. kind of like that.
You're the tip of the spear,
it's good for you to go first. You don't ruin it.
I'm a businessman.
All right.
Businessman.
All right.
Spin the wheel, Valdez. Now, there's no theme here, right? So it could be literally it could be anything.
Oh, flame.
I played in the NBA.
Played in the NBA. All right. No guesses? Spin the wheel, Valdez. What do we got?
Ooh, Bish Bucks.
Oh, Lance, I do.
He always gives himself the third one.
I do?
Yes.
Well, I noticed that because I like to
he's
play.
On to
you like to wait, but you don't want to wait too long.
I like to play.
I know.
You get so angry.
You don't want to be left out.
And I like to give hard clues.
Don't let land on Flakesy next.
All right. Here's your clue.
You're stalling.
I won an NBA championship.
Kevin.
Kevin has a guess.
All right. Now, it has to be exactly who I'm thinking Lurch of. Thinking of. All right. Go ahead.
Magic Johnson.
He got it!
Winner!
I'm sorry!
That's good.
Too easy!
It could have been a bunch of guys.
Too easy!
Everybody's going to say you ruined the game!
You ruined the game.
Hey, you're going to see the Zac Brown Band when they're toured down the rabbit hole live. Stop Jiffy Lube Live August 25th. Tickets on sale Friday, 10 a.m. through Live Nation. It's courtesy of Live Nation. Details at thefandc.com.
I mean, he could have
contest.
Said anybody. Yeah. He could have said Jordan. He could have said LeBron.
Can you hang up on all of them? I don't want to do it.
We've got another pair of tickets to give away.
Well, he can unlock it. I don't want to hang up on
them. See if we can play again.
Got you.
All right.
Here we are. Mine, by the way, was going to be Kobe Bryant. I'm not exactly sure what type of businessman he is, but he's I think he's in movies. Wasn't he nominated for
He definitely was.
He's got some venture going on.
No, he. I think he invested in that body armor drink, sports drink.
Yeah, I think he's got something else.
I mean,
going
I knew he was a businessman. Who were you thinking of, Drab, to rewind it when you said businessman?
Jim Irsay.
Irsay
popped in my head.
Should have said a pillhead. All right, let's go to our contestants. Let's go to Kevin in Locust Grove. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, buddy.
I'm just waiting for Evie to say, "Where's Locust Grove?"
I don't know. I assume it's in Virginia somewhere.
Has to be Virginia.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's in Virginia.
Near what?
In between Fredericksburg and Culpeper.
It's deep.
Oh, it's deep.
Sounds awful. What do you do out there? They have jobs out there?
Oh, no, I work in D.C., man.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you serious? What's your commute?
Hours.
Yeah, hour and a half.
It's more time to listen to the Junks.
Would you get a house for about $150 out there?
A little bit more, but close to that.
Exactly.
I mean, you should have
That's
seen
why you move out there.
When I drove to Chucktown for the one and only sportsbook appearance, I could not believe the prices they had on
big-ass houses.
The house signs.
Oh, really?
I mean, now, the problem is you have to drive in from West Virginia, like into D.C., where the actual jobs are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you...
I know two families
that
do that.
You can live like a king.
I know two families that live out in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And they commute out this way.
Right.
It's happening more and more every year, too.
Kevin, what do you do for a living?
I work on a railroad.
Railroad, man. You're a man's
are you,
man.
Are you calling
all the live long day?
Yeah. You're calling from the 1890s?
I didn't even know those jobs existed. What do you do on a railroad?
I work on the passenger car.
Oh, you do?
You fix them up?
You're like a silly mechanic?
Yeah, silly mechanic. That's it.
That's right. That's his job title, silly mechanic.
That's amazing, though. Do you know how to fix cars or just trains?
Oh, you can fix anything.
Oh, yeah. That's where I came from, automotive background.
Oh, you can fix anything, dude.
You ever see a Big Lurch or JP try and hop on the train for free?
Like, run in alongside and jump on it?
That's such an old callback.
Right.
Like a Billy the Kid or something?
Yeah, with a hobo with a stick and a knapsack.
Gina Davis, A League of Their Own.
Right.
For those that don't know, Jason bragged about this great hookup we had, and I followed it one time.
Nuh-uh,
and basically, the hookup was to sneak on the train.
It worked, though. It probably saved you $2.50.
That's crazy, man. It's crazy. Guys make enough to buy a train ticket. Ridiculous. All right, let's
go. Long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
We're still
paycheck
so
to paycheck.
Cheap.
Paycheck to paycheck. I don't know how many times I'm going to tell you that.
I told my wife. Well, I told my wife for my birthday dinner tomorrow I wanted to go back to Matchbox.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, why wouldn't you? It's delicious. Hey,
I'm thinking about going to medium rare for Valentine's
Day. It's delicious
Day.
And you have a connection.
It's delicious.
Got these gift cards,
I do have
brother.
A connection.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Cowboy. Cowboy, what's up, man?
What's happening, fellas?
Hey, what's up, Cowboy?
How are you, buddy?
What's going on? Good. Trying to win me some Zach Brown.
Yeah. I'm shocked you
like Zach Brown.
Right up your alley here, brother. How's your old lady doing?
She's doing good.
You guys aren't fighting or anything, are you?
No, we're good.
You're
good.
Are you bound? Are you physically restrained while you're making this phone call?
No,
wearing, like,
I'm
a gift mask?
No.
Right. All right, so stay on hold to put Cowboy on, and let's go to our guy, Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hey.
Doug, what's
Dougie.
Up?
Where's Dougie
Doug
from?
Doug from Port Tobacco.
Now, where is that?
Port Tobacco.
It's got to be Maryland.
No idea. Where is that?
It's just outside La Plata.
Yeah.
Just Southern outside MD. La Plata. They have any jobs out there?
No.
No, D.C.
Yeah, D.C., exactly. All right, go ahead. Spin the wheel, Valdez.
Oh, look, it landed on Bishbucks.
Bishbucks.
Because he likes to play. And he's selfish.
You got the second part right. All right, here we go. Your clue is, I'm a horror movie.
Oh, this is a new genre.
I like the twist here.
All right. Spin the wheel. I know we're not going to get any guesses.
What am I?
Exactly. Valdezzi.
Oh.
Yeah, so you weren't prepared.
I have a sequel.
Ooh. Sequel. Okay. Wonder right. What Valdez is thinking of.
If you
what
have
was
a
the
guess.
First clue? I'm a horror movie?
Yes.
It's really a what am I? But
yeah.
Kevin, Cowboy, Todd, Doug, if you have a guess, say your name. Let's spin the wheel.
Spin it.
Where's that wheel going to land?
Oh, look. It's the Drabster again.
Nice.
I was made after the year 2000.
They were made after the year 2000.
All right, so 2001.
And hold on, you said there's a sequel?
Yeah.
There's a sequel to almost every horror movie.
All right.
No guesses. All right.
I'm out.
Hold on. Where would it stop? Big bucks. It's big bucks.
He's scrambling.
He is scrambling.
It's a horror movie that has a sequel after the year 2000.
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on.
That's
so
my question.
The original was made after 2000?
The original is after 2000.
It's tough.
Right.
Yeah, so 2000 can't be 2000, 2001.
All right, I got one.
All right, Richie.
Well, it has to be a clue about the movie.
Correct.
Or could it be a clue about the sequel?
The series.
I guess it could be about the sequel. You could say my sequel sucked.
Somebody wore a mask.
That's a good clue.
That's a good clue.
It is, yeah.
Somebody wore a mask.
In the sequel.
Cowboy.
In the series.
In the series, all right.
Yeah.
Cowboy, what's your guess?
Was it Scream?
No, that's not what I was thinking.
Scream had to have come out before 2000.
Definitely before 2000.
Well, what? Okay. What I'm thinking of originated before 2000, but the sequel was after 2000.
Hey, we're going with it. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. It's
Scream came out in 96.
Yeah.
All right.
So Cowboy's out. That leaves Kevin and Doug.
That leaves two. All right, spin the wheel quick. I got to get the cakes.
Oh, that's a mask?
I mean, I just don't know. A mask?
Hold on.
Oh, I think
sorry,
I know.
Sorry, Kicks. It landed on you, buddy.
I mean, I consider myself, Valdez, you might need to help me in the
no!
ear.
Hey, do you want a clue?
Yeah, I do want a clue.
Do Your clue is, do you want to play a game?
Oh, okay. I got it. Got it.
All right. I'll use that as my clue because I don't even know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
All right, that's the clue.
I think he's tracking with me, I think.
I'm spacing on this.
That's what that was. What the guy would say.
I think I know what it is now.
Right.
Definitely know what
that's
it is.
That's your clue. Quote from the movie.
They lost
play
one of the guys. One of the guys quit.
It was Cowboy. He got a wrong answer.
Oh, so he's out.
So he's out.
I just thought he had to wait. All
right. Kevin and Doug.
All right.
They don't know. Spin the wheel.
Last clue coming. If you don't get it, you're finished. You're never allowed to play again. John Paul Flamack.
Your clue is puzzle. Blank puzzle.
Blank puzzle. All right.
Kind of a deep clue. Sorry.
I think it's
a good clue.
I think I know
it's
what it is.
It's a different movie series than what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Kevin. What's up?
Hellraiser
puzzle. No, I've never heard of that one.
Hellraiser puzzle.
Jigsaw puzzle.
Yes.
Jigsaw from the movie Saw.
So does that mean
from the franchise? That means Doug wins by default.
Just by default?
Oh, you got so hooked.
Because you could have made him say what it was.
Yeah.
Well, the movie Saw. I was thinking of was Silence of the Lambs. Right? Is that what you were thinking of, Valdez? No.
No, I was actually thinking of Child's Play.
Oh.
Yeah, but his goes way back. But Child's Play didn't come out after 2000.
No, oh,
well, I had the second clue, Ricky.
I don't know if Silence of the Lambs is considered horror. Horror.
Like yeah, thriller slash horror.
But we went with it. We went with it.
And then Silence of the Lambs wasn't after 2000.
No.
Can we say hello to Doug?
The sequel was.
Hannibal.
Punch up Doug.
Yeah. Doug
is there.
Doug, you win by simply staying quiet.
Yeah. Nice job, buddy.
Get the tickets to Zach Brown Band. Enjoy the show.
Love it. Thanks.
Good job. Right. You just got hooked.
Invite Cowboy Todd. He'd love to go.
Friday at 10 a.m. through Live Nation. Courtesy of Live Nation. Details at thefandc.com/contest.
All right. Sage Rosenfels coming up next. We'll get his take maybe on the Super Bowl. Maybe his take on Sean McVay's lack of adjustments. The quarterback play. All that
maybe,
good
maybe,
stuff.
Maybe some of the quarterbacks coming out.
Yep. Yep. All right. Don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Now joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by longtime friend of the show, Sage Rosenfels, former Skins and other teams in the NFL quarterback. Believe he had stints with the Texans, Vikings, Dolphins.
See, this was the closest walk-up song we could come to Sage Rosenfels. It's Rosanna. Rosenfels, okay. Rosanna.
Is that the theme?
So that's going to be your walk-up song.
I like
song.
It.
Just work with us there, Sage.
Hey, now, you have a Jew-ish Super Bowl MVP, so you got to throw a little respect to the Rosens
over here.
And I did play also for the NFC East rival New York Football Giants.
That's correct. I left them out. My apologies. True.
What is the all-time Jewish team in the NFL? What does it look like?
Well, it's the smartest team in the NFL. It's the most handsome team in the NFL. That's what it looks like.
Right.
Are they the most athletic? Probably not.
But who does it include?
Who's on the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, give us some players that are on it.
Well, interesting enough, Mike Rosenthal, who went to Notre Dame, of course, a great school for a lot of Jewish athletes, is Notre Dame. Jay Fiedler.
Who's good?
Julian Edelman, who says he's sort of like me, Jewish, sort of Jewish, Jewish when it's convenient. Sid Gilman, I think some players back in the old days. When I was a rookie, actually, with the Skins, I get a letter in the mail that says that I'm inducted into the National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame. And when there was nine other players that year that were in the NFL that were Jewish. And I think Josh Miller was a punter for the Steelers at the time. I don't recall all the other players' names. We have Mike Rosenthal.
Would Josh Rosen be the backup quarterback to Fiedler?
No, that's me. Are you kidding me? He's still a young guy. He's third string.
Okay. All right. So Sage and then Josh Rosen. I see here Lyle Alzado was Jewish. Didn't know that.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, yeah, maybe I should do some research and come up with an all-Jewish team. I probably only could go through the single deeps other than quarterback.
Huh. You are on the list here on ranker.com.
Nice.
All-time Jewish NFL roster. They got you right behind John Frank, who played for the 49ers, and right ahead of Jeff Schwartz, who played guard for the Giants.
Nice.
Yeah, Jeff Schwartz, you see him a lot. You know, he's on Twitter, and he's all over the NFL covering the league. So he and I were teammates with the Giants, and we actually talked about our Jewish ancestry. And I was actually just in Miami speaking at FIU talking about ancestry, and I'm half Jewish. My dad's Jewish. My mom was not. And you know, what all that means, you know, and heritage and things like that. So it always meant a lot to me that I was a little bit different. Obviously, coming from a small town in Iowa and different. You go to college and in the locker room, there's no more Jewish guys at Iowa State, and got into other NFL locker rooms. And I believe Jay Fiedler was the only other Jewish player I played with, I guess, other than Jeff Schwartz.
Right.
Well, I don't know what ethnicity, what religion Jared Goff is, but he's taken a lot of culpability for the loss in the Super Bowl. What do you make of the young quarterback in that game? It almost looked like to me when they would show the replays, it's hard to tell, that his receivers weren't open.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of guys open. I tell you, the Patriots, and I'm actually going to go back and watch that game this morning. The NFL Game Pass comes out usually late Monday night or Tuesday morning, where for me as a player, as a former player, I can go back and I can actually see how the coaches see the film. You know, you get more of the bird's eye view. You can see how all the coverages are set up. But from what I could tell on TV, and the Patriots played almost all man coverage throughout the season. Obviously Gilmore, one of the better cover corners in the league. They let Patrick Chung, a very good coverage safety. And then in this game, they played a ton of zone. They were not going to match up speed for speed with guys like Brandon Cooks. They just weren't going to do that. They were going to play a lot of zone coverage, force their front seven to stop the run, which they did a very good job of, and force Jared Goff, who, you know, they love the play action there with the L.A. Rams, force him to drop back after that play action and try to find the holes in the defense as his receivers are sort of running through those zones. And you have to have great timing and real precision to find those open spots. And so, yeah, the Patriots did a lot of different things in that ball game, played a various amount of coverages. They rushed five a ton, but then also played zone behind it, which you don't see that a lot. A lot of times you see a rush five, and you see man behind it, and they played zone. So, you know, I think that a couple things went awry in that game for the Rams. And as I was sort of, they were replaying it yesterday at NFL Network, they were continually trying to push the ball down the field. Double moves, deep post or deep corner routes, post routes. And I think that was the wrong plan against that type of coverage. They really should have gone to the sort of the dink and dunk type of offense, and maybe spread them out. That's what the Patriots did in that final drive: spread them out, dink and dunk, work your way down the field, possess the football, and not take those shots. But that's sort of who the Rams were all year: run the ball, play action, and take shots down the field. And they continued to try to do that as the game went on, and they just didn't have time in the pocket. A lot of twists and stunt games by the New England Patriots caused Jared Goff to get a lot of pressure. You know, I think he was sacked four times and looked like he was hit five or six other times in the game.
Yeah, Sage, I want to get your take on a couple of things. First of all, when we talked about this, and everyone's talking about it, why McVay didn't use Gurley more, all right? And I know that Gurley was banged up towards the end of the year, but he had 100 yards plus in the Cowboy game, in that playoff game. They didn't use him in the Saint game and didn't go to him in this game for whatever reason. He says he was healthy. He looked like he had some burst, especially in the second half. But for whatever reason, McVay didn't go to him, and that really crushed their play-action game, as you mentioned. And then number two, why didn't McVay make the adjustments? You would think that, you know, this guy is an offensive genius. He would have seen something. You just talked about the zones. that he was seeing. Why didn't he make any adjustments? So start with Gurley and then talk about the lack of adjustments from McVay offensively.
Well, you know, with Gurley, and again, I was sort of watching that game yesterday, and there was a spot in the fourth quarter. The game still tied 3-3. The Rams have the ball near midfield, and Gurley rips off about a 13-14-yard run. It's called back for holding.
Right.
And that, you know, that sort of and then next thing you know, they're in second 22, and they, you know, they end up punting, and you know, I think the Patriots got the ball and moved down and got their touchdown. And so, you know, the thing with running the football is that you have to continually get first downs to do that. You know, if you're punting and going three and out all the time, it's hard to go, okay, we've gone three and out six times in a row. We're going to continue to try to, you know, just hand the ball to our running back and get first downs. You get sort of anxious and you want to throw the ball and you sort of want to, you know, get the ball rolling a little bit and get those first downs. And so I think he just sort of naturally, it's almost a mind thing to just sort of like naturally go away from the run. And he did it in this ball game. So, I think that was, you know, that was a mistake. Sean McVay did not have his best coaching performance. He admitted that after the game. He can coach a lot better. I mean, it's his first Super Bowl. He's going against Belichick, and you know, early on in that game, you start seeing things that are different than you've been preparing for, you know, all year long. Your quarterback's getting a ton of pressure every time he drops back. It seemed like he was getting harassed. You know, I don't know what the situation is with Gurley's health. Obviously, that's sort of a big mystery, and I don't think anyone's ever going to know that. But yeah, obviously, I think Sean McVay, if he would have gone back and could replay that game, he would have handed the ball to Gurley, you know, 10 more times. There was some stat going into the game if Gurley had, you know, something like 18 carries, and you know, basically the Rams were going to win the football game. And only, I think he only had 11 in that game the other night. So you know, that was a big mistake. And yeah, another thing was I would think that. You know, he was getting anxious when you're sitting on, you know, 3 points, you know, throughout the ball game, and you're so used to scoring. You're so used to putting up, you know, 30, 35, 40 points week in and week out. I think you get a little bit anxious and you want to be aggressive. You want to, you know, score right away. And again, he was continuing to try to throw the ball down the field and more low percentage passes. Also where Jared Goff had to hold on to the football. I'd like to think of Sean McVay. Could redo the passing game part of the game. He'd go empty. He'd get the ball out. He'd throw my wide receiver screens. He'd, you know, dink and dunk with stick routes by the tight end and work little option routes on the inside and just slowly, methodically, you know, work his way down the field. Yeah, obviously one of his probably worst called games of the year, something he's going to have to learn from. But I don't think it means Sean McVay's a bad coach. I don't think it means Jared Goff's a bad quarterback. Goff put up, he had, you know, pretty dang good years. Young guy, third year in the league, you know, after his rookie, everyone thought he was going to be a terrible quarterback. And next thing you know, he's actually pretty good. We don't know how good he's going to be. He had way too much pressure in that ball game to really understand, you know, if Jared Goff is a really great quarterback or just a good quarterback. But I think he's got a bright future. I think Sean McVay's got a bright future. They both had bad games against Bill Belichick, which is not the first time that's ever happened to a quarterback and to an offensive coach.
Hey, real quick, Sage, we were debating Kyler Murray here recently. Just kind of your take on the Heisman Trophy winner if he chooses to play football.
Well, I actually called for Touchdown Radio Network this year. I called the Oklahoma-Kansas State game, and, man, was I impressed. I was so impressed by Murray's, you know, his athleticism. He maybe has the quickest feet of any quarterback I've ever seen. He's not the fastest. I came out with Michael Vick in 2001. He's the fastest quarterback that I've ever seen, but he's very quick. He's got a very strong arm, very good arm. He can flick it, you know, 50 yards. He's very accurate. You know, one thing I noticed in that game was he was standing back there for, you know, 3, 4, 5 hitches. The Oklahoma offensive line is one of the best pass blocking offensive lines in college football. That's not really realistic in the NFL. We all know how good defensive linemen are, you know, to get to the quarterback. So my thing is he's just so small. I don't mind quarterbacks that are, you know, I like quarterbacks that are, you know, elusive and they can create and buy time and do those types of things that Kyler Murray does, but he is just so small. And the question is, you know, I mean, he's like Doug Flutie, it seems like, minus, you know, 15 pounds. And Flutie was known to be a really small guy. You know, Russell Wilson, yeah, he's short, but man, he's really thick. All right.
Right.
I mean, he's, I don't
stocky.
Know how he's very stocky, you know, and that allows you to play for a long time. So when you draft a quarterback in the first round or the second round, you're hoping he's the guy not for, you know, 6 years or 7 years like a running back. You know, you're hoping he's the guy for the next 15 years. That's what you're looking for. And, you know, that's the question with, like, you know, Lamar Jackson. You know, can he have that style, more of a running quarterback right now because he's not a great thrower? Can he do that for 15 years? Probably not. He's going to get beat up if he, you know, plays that way. You got to be a great thrower. Kyler Murray is a very good thrower, but he is also very, very small. So in my opinion, I think he's using this whole football thing to try to get as much money out of baseball as possible. And if you compare the two sports, all the different variables, you know, baseball has guaranteed contracts. You can play for a long, long time, way less stress and anxiety that playing quarterback, has in the NFL. I think this is what his whole strategy is flirt with the NFL as much as possible, right to the brink. So baseball brings up their number from whatever it is, $4.5 million, which is what he's got right now, to something like $15 million. They can figure out a way to do that. I do think that's his actual plan. If he was an NFL quarterback, and I'd be concerned about his size for long-term durability.
All right, Sage, appreciate the insight. That's Sage Rosenfels. You can check him out, The Athletic Minnesota. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys, thanks for having me on.
Yep. Remember, we've got Chris Miller, who covers the Wizards for NBC Sports Washington, joining us next.
Hey, is your kid a hoopster or starting to become interested in hoops? Give your child a first-class basketball experience and a first-class life experience at Coach Wooten's Basketball Camp. Their goal is for campers to love basketball even more by instilling confidence, teaching the game, having fun. They teach all day, every day, 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ with competitions, contests, speakers, 3 games per day, a ton of stuff. Instruction is the difference at Coach Wooten's Basketball Camp. You can register at CoachWooten.com. That's CoachWooten.com, spelled with 2 O's and 2 T's. That's CoachWooten.com. When we come back, Chris Miller.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to talk a little hoops. It's Chris Miller, covers the Wizards for NBC Sports Washington, and keep waiting for this team to turn the corner, and it's not happening. It's got to be frustrating, Chris, covering this team and interviewing the guys after these games.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, last night was another one of those head-scratchers, and many of head-scratchers this year. You think that they would have learned their lesson after that Cavs game. But to come out and play like that, giving up 23s to the Atlanta Hawks last night and having Vince Carter kind of turn the clock back on us was disappointing. But it's been the narrative really all year long when they've had really good stretches. But here of late, you know, I think they're going back to some of the bad habits defensively.
Chris, I think Scott Brooks could maybe live with, I don't know, 3 or 4 Hawks, maybe 5 getting into double figures. But to have 9 players from the Hawks reach double figures on your home floor, I'm sorry, it's just an embarrassing loss. Embarrassing. It's ugly.
Yeah, this is probably one of the tougher ones. It's hard to rank them because, you know, that Cavs game was really disappointing. But, yeah, this is up there. You know, for Trae Young, who is, you know, the future. I mean, the kid had a poor shooting night, and he still had a double-double. I think he had 10 and 10.
Yep.
Again, Torian Prince had 21. I mean, John Collins had 15 and 11. He didn't even play in the second half because he got a laceration to his face. So the only reason why Vince Carter had the night that he had was because of, you know, Collins getting injured towards the end of that second quarter.
Well, then you ask yourself, all right, well, something needs to change. What can change? What can this team do? You know, they're saddled with some huge contracts with an injured player like John. You know, it's just frustrating to come in here and talk about them losing to teams like Atlanta and Cleveland, right? I mean, going into the game, we go, all right, well, you got to beat Atlanta. I mean, they're below you in the standings. They're terrible on the road. They were 9-22 on the road before the game, but you give up 140 to them. But something's got to change. I don't think it's as simple as just saying, all right, Scotty's not the man. I don't believe that's the case. There's something with the personnel that's just not right. What can this team do?
Well, they're stuck. Obviously, we know the financial commitments that have been made to their big three of Wall, Beal, and Porter. But I think the bigger picture is, as awful as the season started, they've been dealing with injuries really all year long. And it's not an excuse, but it's the reality. When the big guy in the middle was supposed to be here day one, he wasn't even available day one. It ended up being a back surgery. Not sure when Dwight's going to come back, if he comes back this year. You got Markieff Morris, who has been out of the lineup. I think the two guys that, besides Bradley Beal, obviously, the other two MVPs this year would be Jeff Green and Trevor Ariza. And unfortunately, with the trade deadline coming Thursday, they might be your most valuable assets to make a move. But my question then would be, well, why the hell would you move them? They've actually been the most consistent veterans that we've had besides Beal this year. So they're in a tough situation. To me, I say just keep it the way it is and just ride out this season and then do whatever you got to do in the summer, because it just doesn't make any sense to me to make a move just to make a move. I know people on Twitter got at me last week for saying that, but I don't feel like making like a small move is going to make this team any better. I'll tell you what you do have that's been a fine. Hey, guys, Jordan McRae is a professional scorer.
Yep.
And this could be something that could be a move, tear up that two-way deal and give him a little more money that can help the Wizards down the stretch of the season. Because, guys, he is a bucket. When the Wizards were down 15 last night, Scott Brooks had to put him in, and there was instant offense, there was instant flow on that side of the floor.
I know that Ted and Bradley said that they have no intentions of doing this, but what's the point of keeping Ariza and Otto, if you think you can trade him, and Green? I say go into a mini tank mode. I really do. There's no point. They're not going to go to the playoffs, and if they do, they'll be the 8th seed and get boat raced in the first round. There's just no point in that. So I would say do a slightly, you know, different version of a tankathon the rest of the year. Try and improve your positions in the draft. You know, you're getting rid of guys who are going to be free agents anyway. I don't understand just staying pat with what they have. Doesn't make sense to me.
I thought it was interesting. I talked to Brad last week. It's on our Wizards Talk podcast, which you can download and hear it. He said that the Wizards are going to make the playoffs, period. Said it with so much conviction that he had me believing it. And I think what many people forget is making the playoffs is still making the playoffs. And remember, guys, this is a double bottom line business. There's the money aspect of it. The Wizards will be making money making the playoffs. Okay. Not making the playoffs, you don't get the playoff money, right? So in theory, when you're talking about a mini tank, that means not making the playoffs. And that's,
I don't know if they're good enough to make the playoffs.
You know what? Time is winding down. You're right. You're right.
Not when you're the second worst defense in the league. Come on.
But there's some bad teams in the East also. And the problem is they're getting beat by those bad teams, and that's what's hurting them. But still, again, I'm not – me personally, I wouldn't make a move just to make a move. It doesn't make sense to me. If you're still trying to win – and I'm sorry, that word gets on my nerves. When I hear tanking, it's such a negative connotation to it.
I love it.
And if you've ever competed in anything in your life, anything, I don't care if it's cards or whatever – you never go into it going, well, I'll play better. I'll have a better hand in about 5 or 6 more hands. Okay, you don't do that. You go in thinking, I'm going to win this card game, or you're playing pickup with the 50-year-olds at the Y. Nobody, this whole thought of just quitting, that's basically what it is. It's another word for quitting. And the guys in that room aren't going to do it. No. I can tell you that much. Those guys are trying to get a check, especially those guys that are on those one-year deals.
Of course.
They're not going to sit there and try to lose just for the sake of trying to help the organization get better standing to get a better draft pick. That's just not going to happen.
Well, I'm not saying the players would never tank. GMs and coaches tank, and that's what I'm saying. They could put their team in a better position to lose games and play guys like Jordan McRae more often. You, I mean, I don't know.
I think you have a chance of winning with Jordan McRae, to be honest with you.
Well, play him more then.
Real quick, we talked earlier about James Harden. You cover the NBA. You watch all things. Can you believe what he's doing?
No, because he is a dynamic offensive force, and I have to be careful how I say this because I don't want you guys to take this the wrong way. There are nights where he gets away with stuff on the floor where I'm like, whoa, these side dribbles, the sliding of the foot after you've taken two mm-hmm. steps, he's getting to the free throw line. I mean, he's almost like the quarterback in practice that has the red jersey on. I feel like that's him in an actual NBA game at times. Mm. But I can't take anything away from the way the guy gets buckets. It's historic, actually, to see just some of the stuff he can do on that end.
Yeah, right. He definitely gets away with a lot. All right, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate
it. Good talking to you.
Yep. All right, take care, buddy.
He has a front row seat to a lot of the Wizards. Every Wizards ugly game of the season.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him.
I'm actually getting hostile just talking about the Wizards. It makes me angry. It's gotten to that point.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know, your fandom changes over time. But I remember in college, E.B. used to, like, stay in to watch, like, the Wizards and Bullets.
I couldn't wait to watch Calvert Chaney and Googs back in the day.
Well, they're by far my favorite team. I mean, it would just, it would kill you.
But they have so many uninspiring effort games like last night.
Right.
Against inferior teams.
Well, they just continue to refuse to play defense. I mean, it's been years and years and years. But it's getting worse by the day.
In just their last four losses, they've allowed 132, 116, 131, and 137.
I don't know how.
I mean, those are absurd.
I don't know how he can handle it.
Oh, he handles it when he gets his paycheck every 2 weeks.
He must hate those guys.
Look.
I bet he hates
them.
Find the time he smiles on the sideline.
He does not enjoy going to work.
He's miserable. He's worth $50 million and he's miserable.
He's not happy.
Yeah. Taking years off his life, that team.
Probably. All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish,
yep.
Cakes, EBMJP, mm-hmm. We are the Junkies. Coming up next, it's our boys Grant and Danny.
Be safe, everybody.
Right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.